Will you turn with me in your Bibles today to Hebrews chapter 9? I'd like to read beginning from verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the age, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There are many things which we do many times. And in the common ordinary routine of life, we carry on day after day at home, at school, or at work in a repetition of activity. Some things, however, are happenings of an unusual and singular character. A one-time experience of a long-desired and saved-up-for vacation, perhaps. Maybe a trip to a foreign land, or a once-for-all-looked-for trip to the Holy Land. Today, in these few moments with the book, I wish to direct your attention to the word once, which appeared three times in the passage that we read in Hebrews chapter 9. The singular character of the events that God refers to in his word, dear friends, will, I trust, have a tremendous impact upon us. I wish that we would notice the first one mentioned in Hebrews 9 in verse 27. It is this: it is appointed unto men once to die. Think of that. Now, this divine appointment is because of the fact of sin. The Word of God tells us that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So then death has passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. And the Lord has declared, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. These are facts of Scripture. And the fact of death cannot be denied. We might try not to be bothered by it. We might be calloused by the constant occurrence all around us. But friend, has it not occurred to you that death is before you? And perhaps sooner than you realize? Death is an appointment that we read here that you must keep. You cannot break it, no matter how much you might wish to break it. Nothing can stay the hand of death, not any of your wishes or your promises or the efforts of others. Friend, it is appointed unto you once to die, unto men once to die. And mark the finality of it. You know death is an experience that you cannot profit by. When once you die, you cannot return to live your life over again. When you die, you are ushered into eternity, and you are where you will be forever and forever. Death, however, dear friends, does not end everything. It does as far as this world is concerned. But this verse says, after death, the judgment. Now, this is written concerning those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The one who has trusted Christ as his Savior shall not come into judgment. He is already passed from death unto life because he has believed in the Son of God. I trust that this is true of my listening friend today, but I also trust that there are many listening who do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and that you might be made to realize that death is before you, and after death, the judgment. Now, one blessed thing for the believer I wish to make mention of is this, that we shall not all die. Because we're living in the closing days of this dispensation. The last days are upon us, dear friend. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. His coming to the air to take his own, to raise the bodies of the believers, and then to change the bodies of the living who believe on him. That time is approaching. And in 1 Corinthians 15 we read, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. And so, dear friend, this is what the Lord would desire that you should enter into by faith in him, that you can be a part of that number who shall pass from death unto life the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. But once to die is the verdict and is the fact of all those who do not know him as Savior. But I turn to another scripture with this word once in. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we read these wonderful words. I would draw your attention to it. It would magnify what God has done, so that if you do die, it shall be far better for you, and that you might have the hope of the Lord's return, and that should he come today, which we trust he may, you will go to be with him, and you shall not die. In verse 18 of 1 Peter 3, we read these words, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." I draw attention here to the fact of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, a suffering that has so completely satisfied God and put away sin. As we read in Hebrews 9, for instance, "Once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Once was enough, dear friend. In contrast to the Jewish offerings, which had to be repeated day after day after day, which could never put away sin, and in contrast to the works of men's hands, works which you might try to do, dear friend, nothing can put away your sin but the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice which he offered. Now that sacrifice that he offered was once, in the end of the age of trial under law, and man was proven to be a complete failure. Christ came, and on Calvary he gave himself once. Once he suffered for sins, the just for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work of redemption. On the cross, you will recall, he said, "It is finished." What was meant by these words? Why, the work that was necessary to put away sin was done. He bore the awful judgment of God that was poured out upon him there in those awful hours of darkness when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The blessed Son of God finished the work. He exhausted the wrath of God against him. He bore the punishment. He, the just one for you and for me, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. This, dear friend, is a work which has been accomplished. It is done, it is finished, once for all. Now to go back to Hebrews chapter 10, we see the results of this wonderful work which Jesus has done. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, we have the person of the Lord Jesus as the one who has come into the world to do the will of his Father. He says, "Lo, I am come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O my God." Verse 10 says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." How wonderful to read these words. The one who suffered once, whose sacrifice was sufficient, whose work was perfectly accomplished, has done a work, dear friends, that sanctifies the sinner once for all. What does sanctified mean? It means to set apart. You know, by nature and practice, we are all far from God. We are away from God. As we read in 1 Peter 3, we must be brought to God. And when we are brought to God, we are sanctified to God. We are set apart to God. We no longer are away from him in the far country. We are brought to God. We belong to him. The work that Jesus Christ did on the cross purchased us to belong to him. The blood which he shed has bought us, has redeemed us, has loosed us from a bondage of sin, and has made us to believe and to belong to this blessed one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, his will is that we should be sanctified through that offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Salvation is a work that takes place once for all. Just as a person is born here into life, physical, He is born once. And so when a person is born again, he is born again once for all. He is set apart to God once for all. In verse 14, we read that the offering of Christ has been so perfect, the work that Jesus has done has finished it and satisfied God. It is a propitiatory sacrifice, that is, a sacrifice that has satisfied God's holy demands. He says, by one offering, the offering of Jesus on the cross, dear friend, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, how wonderful to realize that what God does is forever. The salvation that he gives to the sinner is an eternal salvation. In fact, in the fifth chapter of Hebrews, we read these words. Wonderful words to show us that salvation is eternal. Being made perfect, that is, the Lord Jesus has become, through his death and resurrection, the perfect captain of salvation. He has become the author of salvation, eternal salvation, unto all them that obey him. The salvation that God gives is an eternal salvation. The life that you receive when you trust Christ is an eternal life. And dear friend, this obeying him simply means to obey the gospel. The Lord, for instance, says unto you, come unto me, and I will give you rest. When you come, you obey him. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. When you believe on him, you are obeying him. This is the obedience of faith that Paul speaks of to the Romans. And this is the obedience of faith that brings eternal salvation. Isn't it wonderful to read what Jesus says in the 10th chapter of John? I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Dear friend, when you are saved once for all, because the offering of Jesus Christ that saved you was an offering given once for all, and it is a perfect sacrifice. And the Word of God declares we are sanctified forever, once for all, by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. But now turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, and we read a very solemn once. It refers to the future. It refers to the end of those who do not take opportunity to come to Christ, who do not avail themselves of the one perfect sacrifice, who do not come and once for all put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 24, for they are the words of Jesus, he says, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter, and shall not be able. The thought here is, there are all sorts of influences pressing against you to keep you from coming to Christ, who is the way, the gate, the only way to God's presence. There is no other. Dear friend, it may be a friend of yours. And Satan, the one who wants your soul, is one who will think of many ways to keep you from coming to Christ. Oh, but I beseech you, let nothing turn you aside from turning now in simple faith to the Lord Jesus. So Christ says, strive to enter in at the strait gate. Because, he says, when once the master of the house has risen up, and that time is fast approaching, the Lord Jesus Christ is the master of the house. He is now at the Father's right hand in the glory, but he is coming again. The one who gave himself once in sacrifice at Calvary lives forevermore. And there is a time coming when he is coming again, according to his promise. I will come again. When he comes, he will take those that believe on him to be with himself, to meet the Lord in the air, and then to be in the Father's house forever. But then he goes on to warn, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door to heaven is going to be closed, perhaps before this program is over, before you have another opportunity, dear friend, to come to Christ, heaven's door may be closed to you. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you are still outside that door. If the Lord Jesus should come, that door will close. If death should lay its hand upon you, as it will, that door for you will close forever. Jesus said, "If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." But the Lord sort of unveils the future here. He draws aside the curtain to show what will happen to those who had heard the gospel, just like you are hearing it today, but had never accepted him as a personal Savior. He says, "Ye shall begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open unto us.' And he shall answer and say unto you, 'I know you not, whence ye are.'" Oh, dear friend, let me ask you, does the Lord Jesus Christ know you as one of his sheep? Does he know you as the one that has come to him in repentance of your sin? Well, I'll tell you, he knows those that put their trust in him. There's not one that he does not see who has simple trust in him and his finished work. He knows because they belong to him. He knows if you have come to him in all the simplicity of faith. It's not how great faith that you might have, but if you have placed your simple trust and faith in him, he knows you as one of his sheep. But those who are left behind, the door having been closed, he says to them, "I never knew you." And then they shall begin to say, "Why, Lord, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets." They have gone along with religion, so to speak, and maybe you have too. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be an officer in a so-called church. You may even be a preacher. Oh, I tell you, dear friend, but unless you've been born again, unless you are one of the Lord's own sheep through having trusted him, you're lost now. And if you trifle with God's grace and you tarry in your sin and he rises and shuts the door and he comes and closes the door and you're on the outside, you are forever on the outside. That door will once be shut. He says unto them, "I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity," and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dear friend, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. He gives a picture here of what shall actually take place of those who, having heard the gospel and have not accepted Christ as a Savior, are left behind here after the rapture. There will be no hope of entering that door. And the Lord Jesus Christ will have shut that door. And where will you be? Will you not today recognize the fact that you are first under the sentence of death because of sin? But the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered once for your sin and finished the work. And now he wants to save you, to sanctify you, to set you apart. And this is accomplished the moment that you come in repentance to him, just as you are, and believe on him, take him, trust him as your Savior, and you shall be saved forever. But remember this, that if you do not come in time, you're trifling with grace, and you are in danger of being shut out once for all from his presence. May God bless his word today. May you turn to this one, the one who came and died and rose again. He loves you, dear friend. Oh, I urge you, put your trust in the Lord now, for whoso trusteth in the Lord shall be safe. May God bless his word.